Great. Thanks very much, and thanks to all who are joining, and certainly special thanks to Senator Blunt for taking time from his busy schedule to be part of this announcement. You know, Iowans, Missourians, folks from the middle of the country are deeply concerned about high energy costs, and they are obviously interested in pursuing the president's commitment of reducing our dependence on foreign oil by a third in the next decade. To do that, we obviously have to look for new and creative ways to produce energy, and that's one of the reasons why we're meeting today. I'm glad to be joined by Senator Blunt to announce two biomass assistance program projects that will cover areas in the state of Missouri. These project areas will allow financial incentives to interested farmers, ranchers, and forested landowners for voluntary establishment and production of biomass crops that can be used for conversion to heat, power, bio-based products, and advanced biofuels. What we're talking about is the establishment of an opportunity for the use of giant miscanthus in areas in the state of Missouri. We are announcing four project areas in addition to a project area that we had earlier announced in the state of Missouri. In two of the four project areas that we're talking about today, we will be looking at a number of counties surrounding a bioconversion facility in Columbia, Missouri, and one that is located in Aurora, Missouri. And we're hopeful that as a result of this announcement, we can assist the creation of up to 8,250 acres in those two project areas of land that could be used to grow miscanthus. This crop will be used by MFA Oil Biomass LLC. Over the period of the next several years, our hope is that they will convert this crop into energy, and at the same time also produce needed jobs in the areas surrounding Columbia and Aurora. The project areas being announced in Missouri are in addition to project areas that will also be announced in Arkansas, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. The goal ultimately is for each of these project areas over the course of the next couple of years to get up to 50,000 acres of cropland that would be used for the growing of miscanthus. We believe that as these project areas get on board, we'll see thousands of jobs and tens of millions of dollars of income being generated from these facilities. The biomass conversion facilities will essentially pelletize the miscanthus and then use it for agricultural heating, for power generation, for residential heating, and potentially for export opportunities as well. Many states, including Missouri, have renewable portfolio standards, and so this will allow utilities in the state of Missouri to be able to respond to the challenge of increasing their reliance on renewable energy for electricity by 15% by the year 2021. As I said, this announcement comes on the heels of our first BCAP project announcement that was approved last month. Essentially, these resources will be used to pay farmers for the cost of putting in the crop, establishing the crop. 75% of eligible costs will be paid for from the BCAP program. And then from that point, we expect annual payments for land that's enrolled in the program to be made, very similar to what we do with the CRP program. To be eligible, producers have to have a conservation plan that covers the land enrolled in BCAP. They'll be required to maintain buffers around the crop and monitor its spread. But we're excited about this opportunity. We think that this miscanthus can produce up to 10 to 12 tons of dry matter per acre, which obviously will be used by the companies to pelletize and to make it available as a fuel supply. This will reduce our reliance on foreign oil, and as we reduce our reliance on foreign oil, particularly from the Middle East, perhaps we'll see greater stability in oil prices and energy prices generally, which in turn will help promote economic opportunity. So again, I'm pleased that Senator Blunt found time in his busy schedule to be part of this call, and with that, Senator Blunt, if you'd like to add a few comments, I'm sure folks would like to hear from you.
Well, thank you, Secretary Vilsack, and thanks for your leadership in this area. More American energy means more American jobs, and this is a marketplace that we know is there. The energy marketplace is one that Americans haven't been able to satisfy with our own produced energy for decades, and there is no surer path to more American jobs than more American energy. The BCAP plan is an idea to help people get into a new area of energy production. The two programs that you're announcing today will put about 8,000 acres of Missouri land in producing this energy crop. It's a crop that it will grow on land that is not necessarily the best farmland for anything else. It grows on soil that doesn't meet the standards that you would often need for corn or soybeans or wheat or other food crops. This is truly an energy crop. It's a sterile hybrid crop, so that the likelihood of this crop going beyond the boundaries it's planted in is pretty slight, and it doesn't have to be replanted. It's a crop that comes up over and over again. In fact, as I've looked into this, I think when you want to get rid of it, you actually have to go in and eliminate it where you planted it, but it can be planted and grown on areas that wouldn't be good for other kinds of crop production. The estimate of just the on-site jobs where this crop will be processed, not the farm jobs, but the on-site jobs, the processing in Aurora and Columbia, is about 180 jobs. You can get a very big multiplier effect on this as you look throughout the economy of the turnover of just those jobs, of the economic turnover that those jobs create. And so, again, more American energy means more American jobs. This is an area that should meet people's concerns about renewables, and this is a crop that will occur over and over again until the landowner decides to do something to eliminate this crop from growing where it's been planted, with virtually no likelihood that it will grow anywhere it's not been planted, because of the desire to keep it controlled in areas where it's planted and develop the crop in that way. So again, Secretary Vilsack, thank you and the department for moving forward with this BCAP idea, which was approved in the 2008 Farm Bill and has money in the budget that we approve for the rest of this year, and to see that money allocated to these and other projects puts us one step closer toward being less dependent on foreign sources for our energy, and I look forward to any questions anybody might have.
Senator, thank you very much, and certainly appreciate your support and Senator McCaskill's support for this effort, and appreciate you spending time again today being on the call. With that, operator, if you want to moderate questions, we're both available for questions for a few minutes.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. If you have muted your phone line, please unmute and record your first and last name only. To withdraw their question, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. The first question comes from Chris Clayton, DTN. Your line is open.
Thank you, Secretary and Senator. Secretary, I was wondering mostly regarding the cost of this program and the one that will be announced in Ohio. And are you concerned on when it comes to the House Appropriations Bill that that would effectively zeroes out the funding for BCAP next year? How would that affect these announcements that you're having now if this appropriations bill goes through?
Chris, as you Senator Blunt indicated, we did receive funding from the Congress to institute this program, and we believe that in the four projects we're announcing today, the total cost will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million. So, obviously, future funding would allow us to expand opportunities as we learn more about what works, and we obviously would encourage Congress to give some serious thought about the necessity of continued support for the energy programs of the Farm Bill, but we're reasonably confident that the project areas that we're announcing today are ones that we can fund, including the one that we funded and that we announced last month.
The next question comes from Jacob Barker, Columbia Daily Tribune. Your line is open.
Thank you, Secretary. Thank you, Senator. There's been a lot of concern recently with some proposed EPA regulations, such as the transport rule. But those regulations and clean air regulations in general would, I guess, increase the incentive for these types of biomass alternative energy projects. If those regulations are curtailed in the future, I mean, what effect or what chance do you see in those regulations being curtailed, and what effect would that have on these biomass project areas in the future?
Senator, let me start, and then you can certainly add your comments. I think the key to this is the fact that the number of states, I think it's in excess of 30 states, have actually created renewable portfolio standards that essentially require their utilities to use a certain percentage of renewable energy sources to produce electricity. And so we see this program as a way of partnering with the states and with the utility companies to meet those portfolio standards. So it isn't necessarily driven by a federal regulation. It's more likely driven by two things. One, these renewable portfolio standards that states are adopting, and two, the desire that I know Senator Blunt shares with me to diversify income opportunities in rural areas to create jobs and to provide yet another opportunity for landowners to profit from land that may not be as profitable as in terms of crops. Senator?
Well, thanks, Secretary. And in Columbia, Jacob, you know, the most likely counties, of course, are going to be Boone, Audrain, Callaway, Cole, Cooper, Howard, and Montauk, and maybe even Monroe and Randolph, that would be available within a reasonable transportation site to this facility. I think this makes economic sense. People have looked at this crop. MFA has done a lot of research to determine that this makes sense, and it particularly makes sense when the planning costs have been largely offset by the grant the Secretary is making today. And so for this particular project, with a 75% planning cost offset, once those acres are planted, they're there and available to both the Aurora and the Columbia facility. And it makes economic sense. And again, we're so far from where we ought to be toward being more energy, less dependent. I don't think, you know, necessarily the goal of 100% energy independence is the goal, but it's to produce more of the energy we use. And if you can do that by diversifying the farm income opportunities, that's a win-win. So that's what I see here. It's a clean use that might actually transition later into blending with other biomass products so that you're solving other problems, you're turning other problems into energy opportunities with Miscanthus as the easy transition vehicle to pelletizing biomass, and then may be able to add other things to that later. But I think this is a long-term project that makes economic sense, that's going to be competitive in the marketplace. And if MFA, the Missouri Farmers Association energy area, didn't agree with that, they wouldn't be doing it. And this just helps them kickstart something that otherwise will then be sustaining itself in the marketplace.
Kind of jumping off the last question, though, Senator Blunt, I mean, will you continue support for the BCAP program?
You know, I'm going to look at what programs are available, but I'm for more American energy of all kinds. As I said earlier, more American energy is the shortest path to more American jobs. And there really need to be two domestic targets, in my view, in Washington today. And one is, what are we doing to encourage the creation of private sector jobs? And two is, what are we doing to get federal spending under control? Private sector jobs help create the taxpayer solution side of our spending problem. But if you've got a program like this where you could take a relatively small amount of money and create a private sector job that helps us solve our energy problem, I'm going to continue to be supportive of that kind of those kinds of policies.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Kyle Hill, Kerm Radio. Your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to ask for some specifics about the Aurora plan and its impact on the surrounding counties in southwest Missouri, and then also specifically Secretary Vilsack. Is there any information you can divulge about the plans that are going to be happening in neighboring Arkansas?
In terms of the Aurora, Missouri project, we're talking about 5,250 acres that will impact Barry, Christian, Dade, Jasper, Lawrence, Newton, and Stone counties. This project area surrounds the co-op's biomass conversion facility, and as Senator Blunt indicated, this makes sense from a logistics standpoint that property owners in the area that surround this conversion facility would be interested in participating in this, and particularly as it relates to land that may not be quite as productive. In Arkansas, we're targeting roughly 5,588 acres in Craighead, Green, Jackson, Lawrence, Mississippi, Poinsett, and Randolph counties. This is also an MFA project, and again, it surrounds the co-op's biomass conversion facility in Paragould, Arkansas. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
I think that is exactly the right way to pronounce that. And this is, again, just to repeat one more time, this takes land that would not be all that productive for food crops, but as I think this land needs to be, you know, it takes some lime, it takes some preparation, but it's not the excessive use of fertilizer. It doesn't take a particularly high quality of land that could otherwise be cultivated to grow this crop, and that makes it in lots of areas in the counties that the Secretary mentioned, it makes it really appealing to take land that may not even be used today for pasture land and use it to produce a crop that provides some farm income you wouldn't have otherwise. And by the way, while you're doing that, you're producing the big share of those 180 jobs. I think at least half of those jobs are at the Aurora facility, and all of the impact that has as those people who now have a private sector job circulate their money through the local economy. And then when you're producing energy on top of that, it's exactly the kind of project that we ought to be encouraging.
And also to build on that, with the increase of this biomass, what potential is there to decrease the percentage of biofuels from corn ethanol to pretty much allay the concerns of poultry farmers and livestock producers around here who are convinced that that's the reason that feed prices keep going up?
Well, let me comment on that in several ways. Number one, the amount of our corn crop that's available for feed as a percentage of our corn crop is not has not varied all that much, number one. Number two, we expect and anticipate, notwithstanding the tough spring we've had from a weather standpoint in flooded areas, we still expect to have a record amount of corn produced this year on about 4 million to 5 million more acres being planted than last year. And we still, based on today's evaluation of the crop that's been planted, we expect better yields than we had last year when it was a below-average year. But clearly, because of the renewable fuel standard and because of the fact that we want this industry, the biofuels industry, to be on solid footing, we are looking and investing in alternative ways to produce biofuel. We've announced a number of projects throughout the country that will use woody biomass, perennial grasses, agricultural waste, and we're going to continue to promote that. As a way of, as the senator is so well put, we want to reduce our reliance on foreign oil. We want to reduce our reliance particularly on Middle Eastern oil because that's in part what's causing such instability in oil prices because of the instability of where our oil is coming from politically. And so to the extent that we can do more of that here at the United States, it improves bottom lines for farmers. It creates jobs. It's one of the reasons why I was concerned yesterday about efforts to create an abrupt end to support for the biofuel industry. Clearly, we need to be fiscally responsible, and clearly we need to reform the tax structure and system that's supporting this industry, but now is not the time to create a cliff If you do, you're going to end up losing production capacity, and you're going to end up losing jobs at a time when we're trying to create jobs.
Yeah, the other good news here, too, for particularly poultry producers is that you've got another heating source, and it's close, it's local, and I think will be very, very competitive. And once you get across the Missouri-Arkansas border, you don't have to get very far until the heating bill in winter becomes as big an issue as any other issue you face on whether or not you can continue in the poultry production business. And this is particularly designed so that in pelletized stoves and easily and other design heating systems, this becomes a farm fuel source that may make it possible to continue to stay in a business that otherwise rising utility bills, rising heat bills, heating bills, and keep you from being part of.
And to piggyback on the Senator's comment, we always want to remind folks that as ethanol is being produced, it's also producing dried distillers grain, which is being used as a feed supplement for livestock. About a third of what of the crop that goes into ethanol production comes out as feed supplement.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Amanda Paterka, Environment and Energy Publishing. Your line is open.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. Recently, earlier this month, Agriculture Inspector General Phyllis Fong testified that BCAP suffered from hasty implementation that did not include management controls adequate to prevent abuses. How have those concerns been addressed in the projects announced today?
Well, we obviously took those recommendations into very seriously. There was a, I think, an effort on our part to get this resource out as quickly as possible. We needed, I think, some refinements and some direction from Congress, which they gave to us. And as a result of that, we've expanded the safeguards, including a new form. We're not using the old sign-up form. We've got a dedicated data management system with fields appropriate. We're taking a look at our agreement terms and conditions. We're looking at a handbook that is specifically specialized for our farm service offices that will do a better job of explaining to the folks at the local level precisely what they can and cannot do. So there have been a number of steps taken to respond to the OIG report.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Veronique LeCaprois from St. Louis Public Radio. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my question. Senator Blunt, you've said a few times that this miscanthus will be grown on land that isn't the best land for farming. How is that going to be controlled? Have the participating producers already been selected? And what's to prevent someone who's growing a food or feed crop from participating in this program and growing miscanthus instead?
Yeah, I think it's an economic decision. You could grow this on the very best land you've got, but if you can grow corn or soybeans or wheat or something else, all those are going to produce a little more per acre profit than this particular crop does, but they also take a little more effort, a little more input, and you have a little more risk. So you could decide to do that, but you're not going to decide that if you're a very good farmer. You're going to use your good land for what you can grow on good land, and you're going to use your marginal land that would otherwise maybe be suitable pasture land, but maybe you don't need pasture land any longer to grow a crop like this. And so I think the economy dictates that, and the economy will dictate that much better than any government regulation would.
So are these producers who have already been selected, or is there still a sign-up opportunity now for producers to join the program?
I don't know if the sign-up is over yet or not. I do know that some people have already signed up, and I'm not really sure. Do you know, Ms. Secretary?
I do, Senator. The sign-up period begins the 20th of this month. Now, the earlier project that we announced in Missouri last month, the sign-up is ongoing now. So this is a process where people can sign up, and at that point we take a look at what they're proposing, make sure that they actually have the conservation plan and the other eligibility requirements that are required, and then make a decision about whether or not to fund or not fund the proposed arrangement. If we decide to fund it, it's 75% of the of the implementation or the establishment of the crop expense, and after that, it's annual payment.